Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Throughout this first part of 2020, we've been taking a very close look at a passage from 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we'll begin today, looking at 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at godliness, and this week we'll be looking at brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness could also be translated as brotherly love. The word for kindness in verse 7 is the Greek word Philadelphia. Just like the United States city and cities in other parts of the world, it comes from Strong's Greek word 5360, and it means brotherly love or kindness and love for the brethren. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is the best known city in the United States that bears that name. There are other cities and towns, primarily in the eastern part of the United States, and I've been able to find a few towns in Europe and South Africa that also have the same name. Philadelphia was also the name of a city that one of the churches in the book of Revelation was mentioned. Let's take a look to begin with Revelation 3, verse 7. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So perhaps this church was based in the city of Philadelphia. Maybe this church, as a faithful church, also had many elements of brotherly kindness and love. When we look at a church that has an unlimited open door and unlimited open opportunities, but has little strength, that combination, in order to succeed, requires mutual effort from everybody to achieve. So there should be no mistake that this church was successful, not because of its physical location, but because of the attitude of the members. And I don't think it would be a stretch to think that when people are working together for mutual benefit, that there is this brotherly kindness in play that keeps everyone strong when they have very little strength. Philadelphia is the Greek word that is used in many instances in the New Testament. There is a variant that is used, Philadelphos, in one passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's take a look at that passage, 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When we have love for the brethren, when we have Philadelphia, or in this passage, Philadelphos, we have compassion for each other. We do not seek retribution for evils that happen against us. When other people act angry towards us, we do not act angry back towards them. When people curse them, instead of cursing them back, we seek a blessing for that person. That is what Philadelphia means. It's a higher form of Christianity. It's a higher exercise of the Spirit of God that is within us. Any animal can bark. A dog can bark at anything that it sees, and it can bark and bark and bark. As people, we need to respond with kindness. Other passages talk about Philadelphia as well. In 1 Peter 1, we'll begin in verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are called not because of anything we have done, but because of this incredible mercy. Without this mercy, we would have no opportunity for salvation. It is impossible for a person of and by ourselves to be saved. We need the miraculous mercy that comes through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. We have this mercy that is beneficial for us. We live in a time as physical human beings where we are tempted all of the times because we live a life in the flesh. And this body is not spiritually minded. People, as they age, lose physical capacity in their body and often wonder what happened to the youth and the strength and the energy they had when they were younger. Spiritually, we are limited through our physical body, and it is this mercy of Jesus Christ that allows us to be saved. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We have the benefit of a high priest in the person Jesus Christ, our elder brother, who lived as a man here on earth, who knows exactly all the kinds of temptations we have that are linked to our physical nature. Satan every day uses our physical nature against us. He uses our physical nature in an attempt to snuff out our spiritual life before we are spiritually resurrected in the kingdom of God. Verse 8, continuing to speak of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. It is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we have this opportunity for salvation. And as Jesus Christ is holy, we are to be holy in our own lives. Verse 17. And if he call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In a couple of weeks, it'll be time for the spring holy days, including the Christian Passover. Jesus Christ is our Passover sacrifice, the lamb without blemish and without spot. Our salvation was not bought with money that could be earned. It was paid with a dear and heavy price, and everything that we do here on earth must be very mindful of that heavy price. When we fall short, we need to be reminded of this important sacrifice that allows for our salvation. Verse 21, who by him do you believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God? We live lives as Christians recognizing that Jesus Christ was ordained before the foundation of the worlds to come to earth and to be sacrificed for our salvation, that he would be resurrected from the dead, and that we would be given this opportunity for salvation, and then at this future time, at our resurrection, we will be resurrected and become spirit beings, immortal in our existence as children of God. So how do we know we are on this right path towards this future time of salvation? Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. We have to have an understanding of what is in the Bible. That's why it's important to study the Bible on a regular and consistent basis. Many people look at the Bible on a daily basis. Other people might look at it at a different level of frequency, but you have to regularly and periodically read and understand what is in the Bible. And what must we do with that truth and the knowledge that we've attained through the Spirit? Continuing in verse 22, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. We must have this brotherly kindness for the people who are in the faith, as well as people who live here on earth with us. We must, continuing, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. When we have this love that is unfeigned, it is not phony. It has to be legitimate. We're not putting on a show for other people to see. It has to be sincere. And there are things, as we have this love for other people, that we must be cautious of. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Whatever we do for the love of the brethren in a spirit of Philadelphia must be done sincerely without corruption. We can do nothing that is phony, that is intended to deceive other people, because all that would do is put us in the same category as Satan the devil, who deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. The book of Hebrews gives us other thoughts on Philadelphia brotherly love. Let's consider the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, beginning with verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Let Philadelphia continue. And how do we let brotherly love continue? In the book of Hebrews, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Strangers are people who we do not know. And in the modern era, we have to be very cautious who we bring into our homes and socialize. Verse 2 is not telling us to entertain all people that we may come across, because that could put ourselves and our family in extreme danger. But we must not forget to be hospitable to other people who may be traveling through or visiting. We never know when some of these people just simply might be angels. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. We allow brotherly love, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia, to continue when we remember people who are in bonds, people who are in prison, people who in the modern era might be heavily in debt that there is no way for them to dig themselves out of debt. Verse 3, could be people who are going through bankruptcy. And in verse 3, when we look at those that suffer adversity, people who have illnesses in their life are suffering adversity. People who are experiencing any kind of loss in their life are experiencing adversity. Whether that loss is the love of a family member that is lost through death, whether they've lost a job, whether they have lost anything in their life that might have defined them, it's all a loss for these people. And we have to remember people who are in bonds and people who are suffering adversity. Sometimes people wonder if there are limits in brotherly love, brotherly kindness in Philadelphia. We are clued into some of those limits in verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Brotherly love, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia, never extends to any kind of sexual immorality or sexual relationships with other people. The only time that's honorable is within marriage. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As we are practicing brotherly love and brotherly kindness, as we're practicing this Philadelphia, we do not practice Philadelphia with a focus of greed and personal gain. We are not associating our time or expending efforts to get to know other people solely so that we can get from them. That is not Philadelphia. In the world of business, there's this concept of business networking, where people come together not so much to learn the important issues of the other person, to become their friends. It's more of a business transaction. Our relationship with other people, especially other people in the faith, cannot be a business transaction. Philadelphia extends way beyond any kind of a business transaction because Philadelphia is this brotherly love and this brotherly kindness that is this very high level of our Christian faith and development. And as we live this kind of life where we're not trying to use our faith to gain from other people, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Apostle Paul also wrote about brotherly love, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia, in many of his letters, including 1 Thessalonians. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech ye, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. As we are living our Christian life, as we are developing brotherly love and brotherly kindness, Paul is very clearly indicating in 1 Thessalonians 4 that this is never any kind of a sexual relationship, one that might be outside of marriage. As was written in the book of Hebrews, sexual relationships are only okay within the marriage relationship. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. We cannot use brotherly kindness, brotherly love, Philadelphia, in an effort to defraud other people. Brotherly kindness is based on the law of God and the commandments of Jesus Christ and requires a very high level of our Christian maturity and the development and extension of our faith. Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Those who are called, who have been baptized, have God's Holy Spirit. And if we are called of God, when we despise other people, in many ways, we are despising God the Father and Jesus Christ because we have this gift of the Holy Spirit within us. Notice verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. And again in verse 9, brotherly love, brotherly kindness is this Philadelphia. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And we are to have love one for another in a pure way, not in a sexual way of any kind, except within marriage. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So here the Thessalonians were definitely expressing a lot of brotherly love. They were generous with their time. They were generous sharing their blessings with other people. And that's why Paul said, I know that you're sharing with everyone here in Macedonia, but that you need to do it more and more. Verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. It's important as we live our lives not to be so noisy that everyone hears us before they physically and visually can see us. We need to be focused on doing what we need to be doing and not keeping our interest in our nose in other people's business. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. We will be interacting in our life with people who both have and have nothing. And as we walk in those circles, it's important that what we demonstrate as having are the spiritual gifts that come through the maturity of the Holy Spirit. In his letter to the Romans, Paul gives other examples of what brotherly love, brotherly kindness in Philadelphia could look like. Let's look at Romans 12, beginning with verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. As we are demonstrating this brotherly love, we have to hate the evil that we see in this world within ourselves that we are still working on and in our communities. And we have to cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. As we come to know people in the faith, it should be natural that these people take a higher level of priority in our life. Just like if you work with somebody at work and you spend a lot of time with that person at work, you'll be more interested in them, not just as somebody you work with, but as a human being that you know. After a while, you may even begin thinking of people that you work with as your friend. That's a very normal way that people work. We need to, in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another, preferring one another. Just like little children who are brothers and sisters are very loving towards each other. Sometimes brothers and sisters get on each other's nerves, but most of the time brothers and sisters tend to have a very special place in their heart for each other. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Whatever we do, we have to do with a sense of diligence, with a sense of urgency. We have to do it recognizing that we serve the Lord. As we live our life, we will rejoice in positive news, hoping that that positive news will bring us to a happier place tomorrow. And we will rejoice not only for the happy news in our lives, but the lives of other people that we know, especially those who are of the household of faith. We will be patient in the bad times. Life isn't always rosy, even when you're called of God. We're given what we need, but not always what we would want. And many times our tribulation stems off of an overfocus on what we want rather than what we need. Continuing instant in prayer, recognizing that when bad times do come, that we recognize that we have this advocate in our life, this high priest, Jesus Christ, that we can go to prayer and ask God in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. When we come across people who are in need, especially those who are of the household of faith, we want to help them as much as we can. We can't give other people what we ourselves do not have, but we do need to be able to give as we are able to give to other people. And we must be given to hospitality. We must be able to socialize and interact with other people in a way where we're not trying to get something out of them in return. Tricky for us is what's mentioned in verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. It is very easy for us to curse people when they curse us, or to bless people who also bless us. It's a whole other matter when instead, when we're being attacked, we instead bless these people. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. As we are living this life of brotherly kindness, we are not only exuding what is happening in our life, we are reflecting what is happening in the lives of other people, especially those who are around us. And when the people we know and care for are going through a bad time, that's going to bring us that level of sadness as well. We cannot be rejoicing when other people are going through bad times. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. As we are living a life of Philadelphia, brotherly kindness, brotherly love, this is not a love that is a respecter of persons. We don't go to the person who is very rich and think, oh, I will show this person brotherly love and brotherly kindness, but this poor person I will ignore. When we truly have Philadelphia, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, it makes no difference who the other person is. We will show that brotherly love and kindness to all. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We, as Christians, are not to repay evil for evil. There is to be no reciprocity on our behalf when we are the recipients of evil. Whatever we do, we are to do honest in the sight of all men. The modern phrase would be with transparency. We cannot be deceitful in our actions in any way. We have to be open. And as much as possible, we have to live peaceably with all people. Because if we are choosing with whom we will have peace and with whom we will have war, we will always be living a life where we are at war. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It is not our place to seek revenge on other people. It is our place to have anger when anger is justified. If you go out of your way, for instance, to be hospitable to another person, and that other person doesn't show up to an event you've invited them to, it would be okay to be angry about that, but it would be totally wrong for you to go out and to seek vengeance. There's a difference between anger and vengeance. And here Paul is telling us it is okay to have this anger in our life when something bad happens, but we should never seek vengeance because vengeance, saith the Lord, I will repay. God will handle any need for revenge on our behalf. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Brotherly kindness, brotherly love, Philadelphia, is a tool that we can use to overcome evil with good. The Bible, beyond Philadelphia, also speaks of kindness. Sometimes the word is kindness, sometimes the word is meekness, but the concept is what we would think of today as kindness. Let's notice Ephesians 4 as a good example, also written by the Apostle Paul. We'll start with verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, our Christian faith, that's our calling, with all lowliness and meekness or kindness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God wants us to live a life of kindness. Continuing down in verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we look in the book of prophecy and we see the mark of the beast, think of the Holy Spirit as the mark or seal of God. Corporations have a corporate seal. It's an emblem that is put on official documents that simply shows who, you know, the corporation is and that it's an official document. Well, the Holy Spirit is what sets us aside as special and unique to God. And we are set aside until this day of redemption when we are resurrected and become born of the Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, everything that we're reading here so far is very much aligned to the concept of brotherly love, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Each and every one of us have done and continue to do things that are wrong in the eyes of God. And it is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that we have any hope for this redemption. Let's take a look to conclude today what was written in the book of Galatians. We'll look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Gentleness is simply another word for kindness. Verse 23. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Philadelphia, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, is never intended to be any kind of a sexual relationship. verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Philadelphia is another signpost on our journey of faith. We start with our faith, being diligent with our faith, and to that we add virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness. And today we studied brotherly kindness. Next week, we'll conclude this study by considering charity. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.